Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. Again, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The beloved rabbi was on his deathbed. His disciples gathered around him. They had been discipled by him. They had listened to him. And now they had one last question to ask of him. What is the secret of life? They said. And the rabbi looked at those young men and said, life is like a river. And then he faded off into a coma that lasted for a couple of months. And these young men had questioned each other and pondered together, what does this mean, life is like a river? A few months later, unexpectedly, the rabbi came out of his coma. The young men gathered around him and said, Rabbi, we've been considering what you've been saying, that last word you gave to us, life is like a river. What does it mean, Rabbi? What does it mean? And he looked up at the faces of those desperate young men and he said, well, maybe life is not like a river. Oy vey. And he just died that day. The story points out a very real question that's in the heart of all young men, young women, any man, any woman. What is the secret of life? We might look to various gurus or rabbis, pastors or philosophers, thinkers or movie stars, whoever, to try and glean what is the reason for life? What is it really? Well, the author of life, the one who claimed to be life, came to us and shared with us straight up, point blank, this is the key of life. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 15, keeping a finger in your text in Galatians chapter 5, or a marker there. John chapter 15, Jesus comes on the scene, the one who declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he gave us the secret of life very straight uply, point blankedly. He said to us in John chapter 15, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. You didn't choose me, Jesus said to his disciples that day, and he says to you and me this day, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and I've ordained you that you might bring forth fruit. What's the secret of life? The secret of life, number one, for you note takers, for you students, is simply this, fruit bearing. That's the secret of life, to bear fruit. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He ordained you that you, in turn, would bear fruit. Why? Because Jesus said something about our Creator, the Father. He said, I am the true vine, verse 1 of John 15. My Father is the husbandman. I'm the vine. My Father is the vine keeper, the gardener. And you are, in a sense, the garden that Song of Solomon speaks about so powerfully and poetically and practically. And you exist to bring forth fruit. And as Jesus would say, more fruit and finally much fruit, for the glory of the vine dresser, you see. Now, what is fruit? If we're to be fruit bearers, if that's the secret of life, then what is fruit? Well, Galatians 5 defines it in its simplest terms. The fruit of the Spirit is love. To love God and love people, to love, you see. Didn't Jesus say that all of the Old Testament is summed up in these two commandments. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hangs all the law and the prophets. Loving God vertically, loving people horizontally, you have a cross. And Jesus said, that's the key. On those two hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus demonstrated that for us when he was pinned to the tree. Loving God, obeying him to the point of death, and loving people, dying sacrificially for us, you see. It hangs. All the law and the prophet hangs on those two. Love. Well, you say, what about joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control? Notice what it says. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Singular. The implication is obvious. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control all describe what love is. They're descriptive words. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. It says the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is singular, love. And the rest parenthetically describes what love is. Chew on it. Think about it. It's a description of what love should be. Joy and peace and long-suffering and gentle and good, full of faith, temperance and self-control. Interesting. Jesus says, here's the key. Now, Bible students, listen. This is very essential. You say, this is elementary, John. It is, but understand this. The secret of life is fruit-bearing. But fruit is not born, produced for the sake of the branch. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Did you know that the branches don't produce fruit for themselves? And yet that's our idea. Well, I want love, which is joy and peace and long-suffering, so I can be satisfied. Wrong. Fruit is always produced for others, you see. And yet Christians are on this pursuit to produce fruit for their own satisfaction. And it's crazy. And it's frustrating. It's fruity. To try and say, I want to produce fruit, Lord, that I can be happy and full of joy and fulfilled and content. Wrong. You're missing the point completely. Fruit is produced not for the branch itself, but ultimately for the vine dresser, the husbandman, the owner of the vineyard, you see, to do with that fruit as he sees fit. Oh, I love that scripture. Jot it down. Check it out later. Genesis 49, right around verse 22, where it says concerning Joseph, that man of God. Joseph is a fruitful bough planted by a well whose branches overflow the wall. I like that. Joseph, he's fruitful. He's planted by the well. And his branches overflow the wall, which means where do they overflow to? Into the neighbor's yard, if you would. Into the people that walk by the road and can reach up and take a fruit or two and be satisfied and fulfilled and blessed. That's the key. Whose branches overflow the wall. Out of your own boundaries, folks, dear precious people. Not to keep it in us, but to let it overflow from us that others can do what? Pick on us. Ooh. What do you mean, pick on us? Keeping another finger in John 15. Go to finger number 3 and turn, please, to Song of Solomon. This is a very practical text for me in describing what fruit is all about. Song of Solomon, right about in the middle of your Bible, close thereby. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Or page 813. Talk about a garden story, a fruit picture. Check this out. The king, who is a picture of Jesus Christ, the king is saying this. He's describing his bride. He likens her unto a garden. We are the bride of Christ. And this is a picture of you and me. He describes her by saying to her, verse 10, "How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine? Oh, the smell of thine ointments and all thy spices." He says, man, he says, "Your lips are like honeycomb," verse 11, Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Did I say chapter 3? Chapter 4, verse 12, watch this. "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Oh, your plants are an orchard of pomegranates," verse 13. "And pleasant," what? "Fruits. Campfire, spikenard, saffron, calamus, cinnamon, all the trees of frankincense." Not Frankenstein, frankincense. There's a sweetness, there's a beauty, you see. "Myrrh and aloes and chief spices." And the king goes on to say to his bride, which is a picture of you, the bride of Christ, and me, "Oh, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters." And the maid, the bride, responds in verse 16. She says to her king, "Oh, awake, O north wind, come south, blow upon my garden that the fragrance, the spices may flow out. Oh, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." I like that. "King," the bride says, "come into my garden and eat the pleasant fruits, man, that you have produced, your fruit." Now, here's the kicker. This is so romantic, it's so special, and perhaps you say today, "Oh, I just want the Lord to come into my garden, into my situation, and just enjoy what he's doing in my life, just me and Jesus." As the old song says, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses." Just this beautiful quietness. And so the king says in verse 1 of chapter 5, "I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine and my milk." And then, check it out, "Eat, O friends," plural. "Drink, drink abundantly, O beloved." What does he say? He brings his friends into the garden with him. She, the bride, the maid, says, "Come, just you and me, king, bridegroom." He says, "I'm coming. By the way, come on, boys." And he brings all these other people into the garden, and they trample on me, and they pick at me, and I get, ooh, who invited them? Lord, I love you. But who invited them to come into the garden? And the Lord says, "Look, that's what I do. I've produced this fruit in you, not for you, Johnny, and not even just for me, but for my friends. And they're going to step on you, and they're going to pick at you, and they're going to give a headache to you. But you see, the fruit that I'm producing is for the people that I care about and want them to do well." Listen, the secret of life is fruit bearing. That's the secret of life. Not for your satisfaction, no, but that others will be brought into your garden, picking on you, causing hassles maybe within you, but being benefited because of the fruit that he has produced through you. Well, you say, interesting. That's the key? Yes, to be others-centered, to be a lover of God and a lover of people, to get your eyes off yourself and your problems and your hurts and your needs and your tears and your situation. You want to be miserable, just become self-focused. The key to life, to really living, is to say, "I want to be fruit-bearing for others. How can I refresh, satisfy, bless others today? Not, who's here to help me? And how come I'm so this or that or whatever it might?" No. That's what Jesus said. Quickly, number 2. Well, if the secret of life, I'm speeding it up, hang with me. If the secret of life is fruit bearing, then what's the secret of fruit bearing? You say, okay, well, I agree with that in principle. But what's the secret of fruit bearing? Turn back to John 15, and we'll see what Jesus says is the secret of fruit bearing. Verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." John 15, 4. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine and you hear the branches. And he that abides in me and I in him, the same will bring forth what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Listen, the key to life is fruit bearing. The key to fruit bearing then is abiding. What does abiding mean? It simply means this, hanging in there. You're just at rest, clinging to the Lord, walking with the Lord. In my backyard, if I was to go to my apple tree, and I was to say, man, I love fresh apples. And so, to make it a little more convenient for my family, I'm going to lop off a branch from the apple tree and bring it into the kitchen. So that when springtime comes, it'll blossom and apples will be produced right there. They'll be handy dandy for my family. If I chopped that branch off and took it into the kitchen and placed it on the counter right now, waiting for spring to come, that we might have fruit on the counter, you would say, insanity. Crazy. You can't do that, you see. And that's what Jesus is saying very simply. Here's the key to fruit. You stay tapped into me. If you cut yourself off from me in any day, at any time, you're not going to bring forth the fruit, you see. But if you just enjoy me, it'll come supernaturally, naturally. I watch my apple tree and I see it there when the branches do abide. They just stay put, just cling to the trunk. Funny thing happens. In due season, without any sweat or effort, blossoms come forth and fruit is produced. Interesting. I never see the apple tree struggling. Fruit! 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 This is tough. Come on, come on. I never see that. It's just so restful and so relaxing and so simple. It just produces. And yet I see Christians, love, I gotta love. And they go through contortions and agony, and it's absolute insanity. The secret of life is fruit bearing. The secret of fruit bearing is not to try and figure out how to make fruit. No, you abide. You just hang in there day by day, hour after hour, year after year, week after week. You just hang in there with the Lord. Well, okay, you say, John, how do I know if I'm abiding? Couple things here, real quick. You can see it in your text. First of all, you'll know that you are hanging in there, that you're abiding, when you see much fruit, verse 5, John 15. Much fruit. What else? Not only is there the production of fruit, but verses 2, just jot it down, study it later when it's a little bit cooler, but verses 2 tell us not only production of fruit, but correction from the Father. You see, every branch, Jesus says, that does bear fruit, what does he do? He purges it, verse 2, last phrase, that it might bring forth more fruit. That word purging means, well, a couple of things. There's two camps. There are those that say purging means pruning. And if you're bearing fruit, the Lord's going to bring correction to you occasionally to cause there to be more fruit ultimately. But I don't think that's the primary reading. The primary meaning, the word purging means wash. And Jesus says in the next verse, verse 3, for you students, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. You see, when a branch became real prolific and fruitful, it would bow down. You see, it would be weighted down by the proliferation of fruit. And the grapes then would find themselves in the dirt. And when the rains would come, they would get muddy. And so the vine dresser, the gardener would come by and wash the fruit that it might ripen properly and be better fruit, you see. And I believe that's the context. That, man, you just get sort of soiled by the stuff of the world, but the water comes and washes you. Now you are clean, Jesus said, through what? The word which I've spoken to you. Which intrigues me. Because I really think that both ideas are correct, really. What does it mean to be purged? Does it mean to be pruned? Or does it mean to be washed? I think it means both. The choice is yours. You can either come Sunday after Wednesday like you do and let the Word wash you. And have morning devotions, let the Word wash you. Or the Lord will allow another process to take place. If you don't want to learn in the scriptures and learn in the sanctuary, you'll learn by being corrected in the world, you see. God is so in love with you, He's committed to teach you one way or the other. You can learn in church, or you can learn out in the world through discipline and correction. Take your pick. Let me recommend highly learning in church. But you see, Hebrews says that if you continue on in sin and you're not corrected, what happens then? It's indicative, Hebrews says, that you're a bastard and not a son at all. You're illegitimate. So how do you know if you're abiding? Because first of all, production of fruit. Second of all, correction from God. And third of all, finally, fruition in prayer. Jesus said in verse 7, if you're abiding in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you want, it shall be done. Are your prayers being answered? Interesting question. If your prayers are being answered, it's indicative that you're abiding. If they're not being answered, watch out. If your prayers are not being answered, it means what? That you're not in harmony with the heart of God. Why? Because you're not in the Word, you see. Jesus said, if my words abide in you, if you're abiding in me and my words abide in you, you're going to ask what you want. What will you be asking? Things that are in harmony with the heart of God. You'll understand His heart, His nature, His character. Your prayers will be answered. So, if I am not bearing much fruit, or if I am not being corrected when I sin, or if my prayers are not being answered, I've got to say, ooh, maybe I'm not abiding in Him. But if these things are happening, I can say, great, they're proof that I am abiding, just hanging in there with Him, you see. Listen, note takers, thinkers, Bible students, the secret of life is fruit bearing. Well, how do I bear fruit? The secret of fruit bearing is abiding. Well, what does it mean to abide? Number three, the secret of abiding is obeying. Look at the text in John chapter 15. The secret of abiding is obeying. Verse 10, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. I love that. Abiding means obeying, just doing what the Lord is telling you at any given moment. Just obey. Oh, what a fool Saul was that day. Saul, you're back from slaying the Amalekites. Yeah, Saul said to Samuel. Did exactly what you told me, Samuel. You gave me the word of the Lord to slay the Amalekites. Well then, Samuel said, who is this guy right here in your entourage? Oh, he's Agag. He's king of the Amalekites. Well, why didn't you kill him? Well, we brought him back as a trophy. And what's this bleeding I hear in my ears? Samuel said. Oh, a few sheep we brought back to sacrifice here. Didn't the Lord tell you, Samuel said, to kill every Amalekite and every sheep? And then Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice. And disobedience, rebellion, is as the sin of witchcraft. If you're not going to obey, you might as well be in the occult. Wow. And Samuel gave Saul the word that day the kingdom was lost. And you know the story on Mount Gilboa, what happened to Saul? He's wounded terribly on the hill. And there a young man comes to him and finally does him in, thrusts the sword into Saul's life. Saul is now done in, dead. But before he died, he said, who are you? To this young man leaning over him. And he said, I am an Amalekite. Whoo! The implication is, what you didn't kill of the flesh will kill you down the road. What you don't deal with in obedience will come back and bite you badly. God says to you, turn off the TV. God says, don't go into that show. God says, deal with that tendency towards gossip. God says, quit feeling self-centered or whatever. You obey. I obey. That's the key of abiding. If I don't, that Agag somewhere down the line is going to produce a child, an Amalekite, that's going to come back and do me in. The secret of abiding is obeying. Well then, quickly, what's the secret of obeying? The secret of obeying is this. It's loving. How do you know? Look at our text. Check it out. The secret of obeying is loving. Verse 14. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Or since you're my friends, literally, since or as you're my friends, you do what I command you. You have a relationship with me. Look at chapter 14. Turn back the page to verse 23 real quickly. Jesus says this real directly concerning this idea. The key to obeying is loving. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Not he should, but he will. If you love me, you'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, John 14, 23. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You see, obedience is no problem if you love somebody. Oh, Mary was at the table yesterday or 2 days ago now, and we were having a family discussion, and Mary looked at me rather seriously and says, but Daddy, what if I love you and Mommy more than I love God? And I said, honey, really, by loving Mommy and Daddy, you're loving God, for you're doing what He said to do. You're honoring your parents with that kind of love. The key to obeying is loving. Listen, for you that love the Lord, obedience is not the issue. Saul had no love for God. That's why obedience was such a difficulty for him. Well, you say, okay, John, I'm sort of with you. It's getting hot, but I'm sort of with you still. You're saying the key to life is fruit bearing, and the key to fruit bearing is abiding, and the key to abiding is obeying, and the key to obeying is loving. But what if I don't love him? The key to loving is knowing. The key to loving is knowing. Point five or six or whatever we're on. The key to loving is knowing. How do I know that to be so? Look at verse 15 of chapter 15 of John's Gospel. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all the things that I have heard my Father, I have made known unto you. I've let you know all that I know. I've let you know who that I am. What I've heard from my Father, I've shared with you. You know the saying that goes around our culture, familiarity breeds contempt. It's true with contemptible people or contemptible things. But the thing about the Lord is this. The more that you know Him and listen to Him, the more that you know Him and listen to Him, the more impressed you'll be with Him, and you'll fall more deeply in love. It's an amazing deal. That's not true with people in many cases. The more you know folks, the more they disappoint you. You say, oh man, she's not, he's not, they're not what I hoped or thought they would be. But with the Lord, as John 15:15 points out, Jesus said, I've shared with you all these things that my Father has given to me. And that's why they were friends of his. That's why he said, I don't call you servants anymore. You are my friends. There is love here. The secret of knowing is loving. The secret of loving is knowing. The more you know Jesus, the more you love him. Now, finally, last point, then we're done. Amazing, John. The secret of life. Oh, here it is. Fruit bearing. Others. Others, not fruit bearing to gorge on yourself. That's the pits. It's others. Fruit bearing for others. What is fruit? Love, which is joy and peace and long suffering and so forth. Well, how do I bear fruit? By abiding. Okay, hanging in there. What's the secret of that, John? Obeying, doing what he's telling you to do on any given day, at any given moment. Well, what's the key to obeying? I don't know if I want to. The key to obeying is loving. If you love somebody, obedience is no problem. You want to please them. You love to respond to their needs. Okay, so the key to obeying is loving. Well, what if I don't love? What's the key to loving? Knowing. The more you know him, the more you'll love him, which means you'll be obedient to him, which means that you'll then be abiding in him, which then means that you'll be bearing fruit, which means you'll be fulfilled in life. Last point. Well then, John, okay, I'm with you, but if the key to loving is knowing, how do I know him? How do I know him in that way? How do I know him? How do you know him? You already know. What do you mean? I already know. That's why you're here right now. You already know. Knowing Him means taking in the Word like you're doing on this hot day. I know it would be easier for you to be at the lake. I know it would be easier for you to be in your house watching the 49ers. I know it would be easier for you to be out for brunch in a cool Jacksonville Inn. But you know, you already know. You already know what it takes to know the Lord, that then you might love Him, that then you might be obedient to Him, that then you might be abiding in Him, that then you might be fruitful for Him, that then you might be successful in life. The purpose for life is just doing what you're doing right now. I commend you for that. You're here saying, I want to study the Word. I want to learn a little bit more than I knew previously. I want to study the Word. The more you study, the more you love. Because the more you know, the more you love. I'll read to you so you won't even need to turn there. From Proverbs chapter 24, my last point. Not even, no, a sub-point. This isn't even, that was my last point. This is simply a sub-point to that point. But please listen, if you're not going to turn there, I understand, but listen carefully. Proverbs 24, this applies to many. This could be the word of the Lord for you today. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. And the wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. And I looked upon it and received instruction. Listen, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy lack as an armed man. Solomon walked by a vineyard that was once prolific and productive, but now thorns had covered it. The wall was broken down around it. It was no longer fruitful. And Solomon said, I've got to stop and see. Why can this happen to a vineyard? And he said, here's my conclusion. The guy that could have been, should have been cultivating, said a little sleep, little slumber, little folding of the hands. We've been to a lot of church meetings. We don't need that at this point in our lives. Morning devotions no longer needed by me. John's been teaching us on Wednesday we're not under law, so a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, you see. Yeah, I used to go to Wednesday night, but I'm getting up in years now. Ooh, ooh. Little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Used to be a part of a women's study or get together with guys regularly at a breakfast meeting or whatever it might. And unbeknownst to you, the walls have been broken down, the thorns have crept in, and the fruit is not what it once was, or what it can be again. If today you say, I've heard the word of the Lord, and no more lethargy, no more holding back, no more saying, I don't have time, I'm too old, or too tired, or too young, or whatever it might be. Hey, it's time for me to understand the secret of my life is to bear fruit for others to enjoy. And how does that happen? How does that happen? The secret of life is to bear fruit, and that happens as I abide in Him. And what does that mean? Be obedient to Him. And how can I be obedient to Him? Very simple, by loving Him. But how can I gain this love for Him? By knowing Him. And how can I know Him? By doing just what you're doing. Day after day, morning after morning. Hey, continue on, pilgrim. Continue on, branch. And you'll see fruit produced in a way that will bless others. And as a byproduct, bring great satisfaction to you. May God help you to be the fruitiest fellowship in all of Oregon. Truly, truly, truly. Let's pray, shall we?